Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is so good to be back with you all. It seems like it's been forever. So I thank Pastor Nathan for this invitation. Thank you all for having us back. Don't want to take up a whole lot of your time this morning. You know, we've got the transition going on at the Gospel Mission. Some things are changing. I don't know if some of you all have heard yet or not. I know that what they call the word on the street. The word on the street is the Gospel Missions keep kicking people out, and they're not letting as many people stay. Well, you know, a half truth is a whole lie. You know, and that's really not the truth. You know, what we've done is to direct people now to the programs that we have at the mission. And one of the things we kind of thought that people were just going to kick back against going into the programs and everything because so many of them just never chose to get into the programs. But once we instituted the change and they started going into the programs, we started seeing that more of the people that were staying on the mats at the mission, that were sleeping in the shelter at the mission, have chosen to go in the program. So it's been really, really encouraging to the point before we had a lot of empty beds in the programs and the shelters would be full. Now we are running kind of sparse on beds in the programs because so many people are in them, and we have extra shelter beds now. So we don't have a waiting list anymore. Anybody can come down and come on in. But you know, sometimes when you look at how the homeless or people who are what we would call the lost and the least, when you look at how they're ministered to, watching from the outside, sometimes you could wonder, why do they do this and why do they do that? And sometimes you look and you go, well, all we need to do is, and we'll name one or two little things, that's all we need to do and those people will be all right. Well, it's not about what we need to do so much as it is about what they need to do. So I want to share some things with you. I'm not going to hold you long this morning. There's a question in John 5, 1 through 9 that just rings for me when I think about the people at the mission. And the question is this: do you want to be well? Have you ever thought about that? How many of y'all, anybody ever been to Bethesda, the pool at Bethesda? Anybody ever been? Anybody ever been to the Gospel Mission? If you've been to the Gospel Mission, you've been to the pool of Bethesda. The Bible says that it was many who were lame and sick were there. Let me read it. John 5, beginning at verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. You know, there's some people at the mission that were there when I got there, 28 years ago. You know, and they're transient. They come and they go to other cities and things, but then they come back. And so I could see how someone would lay in a place for 38 years. It says, when Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, Do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, Rise, take up your bed, and immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. You know, sometimes people who have been in a destitute or a homeless position for so long, it becomes, they learn they learn how to subsist, they learn how to get along in that condition. They come to a place oftentimes where they really don't expect anything to change. I'm homeless today, I'll be homeless tomorrow. You know, I can't get a job today, won't be able to get a job tomorrow. And so they lay there. And I think what we have done by changing the way we approach the people that come to us, by encouraging them to join one of the programs, I think that's similar to what Jesus did with this gentleman when he was in effect ask him, are you willing to do something for yourself? What are you willing to do? Anybody ever been in a bad situation and you felt like it was somebody else's fault? I've been in a situation where I felt like it was somebody else's fault. The problem with that, though, is that if somebody else is responsible for you being in that condition, quite often it's hard for you to see that you could get out of that condition without their help or their permission. And so then we don't look at, what could I do for myself? So I'm going to share a couple of thoughts with you. First one is this. Everybody laying around the pool doesn't want to be made well. They don't. Some folks laying around the pool, and I just look at the mission as the pool of Bethesda. Some folks don't want to be made well. They learn how to, in the homeless community, they learn how to go to Florida in the winter, when it's winter in Michigan, and come back and visit family up here and live in the shelter, and they don't need a job and they can get a sign. You've seen them. Anybody seen the signs? Remember the signs? Need help, God bless you. Whatever happened to the sign that said, we'll work for food, or we'll work for... So we've gotten to a place now, and I think it's good for us not to allow them to stay there in this place where they're not doing anything for themselves. Some of the people have been in their broken conditions for a long time. I don't know why Jesus singled this man out. It says a certain man. Jesus Jesus knew he'd been there for 38 years, and perhaps this wasn't the first time Jesus saw him. He was known for being by the pool. After 38 years, I don't know why this came to my mind the other day, but after 38 years, do you become a part of the environment? You know where the courtyard is down there in Jerusalem? You know where it's at? It's around there. It's right there by where that guy sits all the time. You know the guy with the brown coat? He's been there for 38 years. I know you see him. You know, when you become a part of somebody's directions, you've been there too long. The second point is this, the question, do you want to be made well? From the moment that this lame man met Jesus, his life was positioned for change. One of the challenges that I have had while I'm at the mission, and Pastor John, I know you're going to see this too, if you haven't already, you probably have, but we have a lot of people who are Christians, and they go into politics, and they get involved in different things in the community, and And one of the things that they begin to do then is try to figure out how can we coexist? I mean, they're Christian and they want to see things happening at the gospel mission. They want to see things happening at the gospel mission to help people, but they feel like we have to give a little in order to take a little. I can't tell you how many conversations I've been in where they want to know, well, do the people have to pray before they eat? Do you really have to do that? You know, I mean, if you don't make them pray before they eat, then more of them will be open to coming inside, you know. It's sad to me when people get into, and I'm just using politics as an example. If there's any politicians in here, God bless you. You know, I know I'm not one. I hit stuff head on, and that, so I don't. But it's sad to me to get in a position and then not represent the Christ that has literally saved your life. But you feel like you have to negotiate for significance in a space. And then you wonder why nothing changes. You see, all of us are ministers. Y'all know that, right? All of us are ministers. I don't care what your platform is. And oftentimes what happens is when we get into places and we get silent because we don't want to look crazy, we don't want to look different, you know, we just want to get along. But we're living in a time, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, where we need to confront some things head on and trust that God will back us up, will have our back. I wonder sometimes what would happen if we took the example of Jesus. So Jesus is walking through this pool area now, and he sees a man, and he says, do you really want to be made well? And then the man gives him all of these reasons why, well, you know, nobody want to help me in the pool, I'm not fast enough, I'm sick, I'm, you know, I can, all of this stuff that's going on, and Jesus is not hearing any of that, I don't think. I don't think Jesus is listening to that. Jesus just want to answer to the question, do you really want to be made well? And then he tells the man to do something. See, one of the problems that we have is that oftentimes when we see people in particular positions, we look at what we can do for them. Oh, brother, let me get your mat. Let me get your mat for you. Let me pick your mat up. I'll carry it. Where was you going? You know, no. Mm-mm. See, if you do everything for people, it does not take them long to forget what they can do for themselves. And then they begin to expect less of themselves because somebody else needs to do that for me. I remember one time we had a lady that came to our church, Stones Church in Kalamazoo. And boy, she was complaining about what the mission didn't do for her, or how they didn't do what she had thought that they should do for her. And so a couple of the ladies in the church asked her, they said, well, sister, can we pray for you? No, I don't want no prayer. Don't be praying for me. I want this, that, I want this, you know, but don't be praying for me. Are you serious? You know what? If I'm sick, if I'm laying on the side, if I am hungry, if I am homeless, hurry up and pray for me, okay? And I want people that know the power of prayer to pray for me. And here's another thing. I want people praying for me who absolutely believe that Jesus Christ is the answer for what I need. I don't want you praying for me just because it's time to pray. Don't pray for me just because it's time to pray. I want you to pray for me with an expectation that the same way Jesus talked to this man and said, rise, take up your bed and walk, that when you pray for me, my situation is about to change. One of the things that's wrong with the church today is that we think that all the things Jesus did, he did because he was Jesus. He only did them because he could only do them because he was Jesus. The problem with that is that if he had something that I don't have to accomplish what he did, then he can't be my example. But I remember when he said, greater works than this will you do. Really? See, that's what I want to see. I want to see some of the greater stuff. I mean, I don't want to see the common cold cured. I don't want to see that. I mean, I want to see some blind people seeing. I want to see some lame people healing. I mean, I was blessed one time. I saw a guy's leg get longer. Blew me away. But it also let me know it was possible. And the thing that gets me is when people tell me, well, you know, I don't think that that's possible in today's society. I don't think that's possible. You know, an opinion, an experience trumps an opinion every time. You can have all the opinion you want about my Jesus, but I have experience with him. So there are things about Jesus you can't talk me out of. And when I pray for somebody, I have an absolute expectation that their situation is going to change. Why do I tell you that? Jesus was one man. He went down to the pool. He had an encounter with one man, as we know. What would you think would happen if all of us just went down to the mission today, armed with the power of the Spirit of God, walked through that mission, found people who are homeless, who are separated from their families, found people who are bound by drugs and alcohol, and picked one and said, brother, let me pray for you. Sister, let me pray for you. Wouldn't it be something if you did that, and just like this man did, he picked up his bed and walked. Wouldn't it be something if we did that and those people at the mission emptied the place out? What happened to the gospel mission? Man, it used to be people laying all around there. I don't know them people from First Baptist of Allegan. They showed up and they come through and I saw them laying hands on people and everything. And when I came back, wasn't nobody down there. Staff out there in the parking lot wondering what's going on, you know. See, I'm just ignorant enough to believe that that's possible. That when Jesus told us that we were going to see greater works, I believe that when I lay my hands on somebody, that the power of God working through me is going to do the work. My obedience to do what God has called me to do in those situations, your obedience, what God has called us to do in those situations, that is the thing that carries the power of Christ, your obedience. Just like with this man, when Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk, his healing was in his obedience. The Bible never says, and Jesus healed him. It doesn't say that. He just did what Jesus told him to do. Well, yeah, Pastor, I hear you, but I'm not homeless. That doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm glad you said that. Too often times, the progression of our Christian walk is we are broken, we come to church, we hear a message, we are moved by the message, we join the church, we get baptized, Then we come to church Sunday after Sunday to get re-energized from a week we've been beat up by. And we sit and we listen to a message and we go back feeling so good because we know we ain't lost no more. But we never see ourselves as folk who absolutely carry the power of the living Christ. I'm going to let that sit there for a minute because I know some of y'all are thinking right now, I don't know, do I act like I carry the power of Christ? You know, do I act like it when I carry the power of Christ? Do you? That's a question for you to ask yourself. You know, because if you look at everything that's going on in the world today, I wonder sometimes, where is the power of the church? Boy, it's quiet in here, I'm telling you, y'all do me a favor. Let church say amen.
Amen.
Say amen one more time.
Amen.
Now that I know you can. Too often people are like this man, they're relying on the system to do something for them, but they don't want to be invested in it themselves. And people will say, well, you know, can people stay at the gospel mission for free? Sure, yeah. We ask them to do chores. We ask them to help wash the dishes. We ask them to help clean up. You mean to tell me you make people, what, y'all want slaves down there? Are you going to pay them? You know, what is wrong with that thinking? People need to be encouraged to do things that they think they can't do anymore. And one of the things that we use more now than any other time at the mission is relationship. To take the time to sit down, to listen to people, and then give input. Rather than just running in and tell them, you know what you ought to do? You know, evidently not, because they ain't doing it. But when you build a relationship with them and then you start injecting in their lives things that they could do, then that's when relationship is built and they can hear you. The third thing, Jesus gave him something to do. Take up your bed and walk. He challenged him. What had worked for everybody else didn't work for him. Well, Pastor, you know, you got to be the first one to get in the pool. The Bible said that it was a multitude of lame, sick, blind people, and King James, it said, halt. It was a whole group of people down there, and you got to be the first one to get in there. What are your chances? If you're laying by the pool, if that's the only deliverance you have, what are your chances? I mean, just think about it. If we're all down there at the pool and all of us are waiting for the same one opportunity, it doesn't take long for 38 years to pass. And so then you need to understand that, you know what? If I got it made up in my mind that I want to be healed, that I am going to be healed, then I need to do something different. I heard somebody say, if you want something different, you gotta what? You gotta do something different. Everything necessary for his healing, he already had. Next point, I wrote every community, and maybe every community does, but almost every community has a pool of Bethesda. Think about it. Almost every community has a group of people who need help. Some of it's mental, some of it's emotional, some of it's just things that they don't know that they need somebody to help them to put A, B, C, D together and get them walking in the right way. Every community does. But in a number of places, going through scripture, when Jesus encountered people, it says that he was moved by their compassion. Or it says he was moved by their pain and suffering. So I could preach this message right now to a group of homeless folk and let them know that they need to be involved in their recovery, in their redirection, in their being made whole again. But that message wouldn't help Jesus, because Jesus was the one that brought the healing. So my question for you today is, what does your compassion move you to do? I probably ought to just sit down right now and leave you with that. Because I hear all different kinds of things. Well, I'm afraid to come downtown. I'm afraid that, you know, that I've heard this, that, and the other. And I'm telling you, there's so many, so much wrong information out about how it is around the mission and things that go on at the mission. And I always, 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 when we take people through for a tour, they come out shaking their head going, I never knew. We had a young lady who came through with the tour not too long ago. We have a group of nurses that bring nurse students through. And there was one student who was a part of the group, and she had heard so much negative stuff about the mission, she did not want to come and take a tour of the mission. She didn't. And when she came in, it was all over her face. She didn't want to be there. I mean, you could look at you could look at her and tell she did not want to be there, because she just did not see any need for people to have to come to a place like this to be treated like they're treated at the mission. When the tour was over, she was coming out the door, she had tears. I mean, she was a wreck. She has seen things that she never thought she'd see. She had heard things, she had talked to people that have been there, that have been helped by the mission, and it messed her up emotionally. She was apologetic for the way that she had felt. There is nothing like coming to the mission and having an experience of walking through, meeting the people, seeing what we do, and hearing firsthand what the gospel mission is about and the services that we provide for the people. And when you come, bring the Holy Spirit power that Christ has given you when you come. Can your compassion move you to do that? I appreciate this church. You all have been supporters of the gospel mission probably longer than I've been here. I don't know how far back it goes. There are so many churches like that have partnered with the mission and supported the mission. And I guess as I'm leaving, I can say a couple of things that might sound harsh to some people, but please believe me, that's not my intent. I love you guys, I really do. But sometimes we get complacent in our support and in our giving. I was going to an event that was hosted by another nonprofit. My wife and I, we support quite a few nonprofits, actually. And I was sitting at the table, and we had just gotten dressed. We'd be leaving in a few minutes. I pulled out my checkbook, and I sat there, and I started writing. And I was writing an amount that I had given probably for the last 3 or 4 years. And God spoke to me and he said, is that the best you can do? And I'm not making this up. I mean, he literally told me, he says, is that the best you can do? And then what he said to me was, he says, take everything out of your pocket and put it on the table. I'm sitting in my living room, pulling stuff out of my pocket, laying it on the table. And God showed me, it was a $20 bill laying there, and God said, you're getting ready to write that check. What would that $20 do? So when I wrote the check, I put the $20 beside it. See, what I've found is that for a nonprofit, $20, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. The majority of the funds that we get in comes in the form of checks, $25, $35, like that. That's the majority of the funds we get. And what God was showing me, he said, you have equated writing a check with ministry and then disconnected yourself from the act. He's holding me accountable. Oh, I could tell you some stories about how I've been beat up and spanked, you know, since I've been in this position. I'll give you one more. One time I was walking down the street and I had my assistant with me. She was walking and I was talking to her and everything, and I turned around and looked, she's way back down the block. It's a guy down there leaning up against the building, and she's down there with a hand on his shoulder, and this girl is praying. I mean, she's praying like there's no tomorrow. And God showed me, he said, see, you got so used to doing ministry that you miss opportunities for ministry. And I had gotten to the place where I figured, since I worked here, I'm just doing ministry. No. God wants us personally invested and connected to the people that he has called us to serve. He has called us to serve. If you're looking for things to do in your spare time, if you're looking for ministry opportunities at Kalamazoo Gospel Ministry, we need volunteers. We need mentors, people to develop a one-on-one relationship with somebody. And sometimes the enemy will say, well, no, you don't need to go, because you know you had this problem when you was growing up. Your alcohol had you, or you know you got drugs in your past, or you know you don't know how to treat people like this. I will tell you from experience that those things that you have been delivered for qualifies you, you've been delivered from, qualifies you for ministry to people that are struggling. Amen, Pastor. You know, God was showing me that just the other day. I'm telling you, I was just saying the same thing. One of the things that I have tried to do is I have tried to lean into the power and the presence of God in my own life. If I start talking to you about what God has done for me in my life, I'd be a mess up here. Because God has saved my life on numerous occasions. He's delivered me from so much stuff that you know, and one of the reasons I don't give my testimony in a lot of different places is because when people find out you've been through things, oftentimes they can't hear from you anymore. And so you need to be careful where you share what God has done in your life, but be open to hear from him so that when he wants you to share, you're ready and you're willing to do that. Because there's words of healing, there's words of freedom to set people free in your testimony. And while I absolutely love it when people write us checks and when people put money in an envelope and send it to us, absolutely love that. It's necessary. We need it. We got to pay the bills. We don't get any government funding. But when people show up because God has done something in their lives, but God has brought them to a place of freedom and wholeness, and they bring that down to the mission, and they partner up with one of the people that we serve, and they speak their language, and they listen to their stories, and they can tell when they lying. So when they finish talking, they say, yeah, you ain't never did that. You ought to cut it out, you know. Because, you know, I mean, many of you all have walked some of the same roads they have. But it's that personal investment that I believe that God wants to call the church today to. I believe God wants us walking in a boldness so that when we are out in the community and we hear people saying things that goes strictly against the word of God, that we speak up and say, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but no, my Bible don't say that. My Bible don't say that. And just be honest, you ain't gotta beat nobody up or nothing. Just let them know, no, that's not right. Can I share with you all that it's been a challenge for me? I mean, John's and I, we have a great relationship. I thank God for that. Going through this transition, we've been doing it well because both of us are hearing from God. But there have been times when I look and I say, well, but what am I going to do? I mean, what's next for me? What do I do? The answer to that question is that I am going to continue to be who I am in whatever place God puts me in. I'm trying to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, who gave his life so that we could be free. As his representative, as his ambassador, I want to give my life. I don't want to hold anything too close that it claims my attention and directs me in areas where I just don't need to be there. I don't need to go there. But if God directs me to a person, if God directs me to a place, if God directs me to an organization, I want to be of the mind that I can give everything that I have for the kingdom. Is there anybody else in here that's willing to do that? That's a good place for amen. Thank you. That's a great place for amen. I want to sing a song. And the song is called Giving My Life Away. Sometimes I wish I had more than one life to give. How grateful I am. Because y'all don't know, but I know some of the stuff that I was caught up in, some of the things that I had done. And I see, you all have your own stories. You all have been, if you know Christ, you've been delivered from something. What does your gratitude, what does your conviction for what he's done for you move you to do? Brenda. He said the red mic was there. Yeah. Thank you.
They had to give me one with a red. I feel like I'm standing up here with a clown nose on. Thank you. I've seen a vision harsh and sweet of one who gave all he had for me. I've seen the passion of his death and the forgiveness of his final breath. Now I could never be the same. My life has been forever changed. I've got to live and love and give because he gave. Now I'm giving my life away, laying it down on the altar. I am giving my life away. The very least I can offer is my all. So as I stand here today, I'm giving my life away. No earthly price could be too great, no sacrifice too much to make, no way of measuring the cost next to the blood of Calvary's cross. So if I live, I live for him, or if I die, I count it gain. My life is not my own, but his from this day on. Now I'm giving my life away, laying it down on the altar. I am giving my life away. The very least I can offer is my all. So as I stand today, I'm giving my life away. I am giving my life away, laying it down on the altar. I am giving my life away. The very least I can offer is my all. So as I stand today, I'm giving my life away. God bless you all. Thank you so much.